Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And to your listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And this divine hamlet, in just a few days, will see another beautiful celebration, the festival, adoring one of the most fascinating forms of the divine, the beatific and beautiful elephant-faced, pot-bellied, grace-showering, wisdom-bestowing Lord Ganesha. In fact, celebrations, when you come to think of it, celebrations never cease in Prashanthinilam. Today was Teacher's Day, and we had in the Cycle One Thal a very powerful excerpt of Bhagavan's discourse. Just last week we had Krishna Janmashtami, and then for 3 days we had hundreds of devotees from the district of Vishakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh, who performed cultural programs, dramas and dances in the Cycle One Thal. And even as this ends and Teacher's Day celebration also concludes, Ganesh Chaturthi celebrations are about to begin in just a few days, September 9th to be precise. This festival is supposed to be to rejoice in the advent of Lord Ganesha. And I would like to say, in quotes, advent. Because when was Lord Ganesha born? What was that year? How was that period? Why did he make this advent? Advent of the Eternal One. How did it happen, and for what purpose? You know, there are so many such questions, and all of these are mystical queries, and their answers too lie in the realm of mysticism and deep spiritual inquiry. Though there are legends related to Lord Ganesha's birth, him acquiring the elephant trunk, him having a broken tusk, him having a big belly and so on, what is more significant is understanding the symbolism related to every facet of this delightful form of divinity. Bhagwan often says, Bhagavantudu raso vaisa, which means God is the divine ambrosia, the ambrosia that is sweet, sustaining and strength giving. And this ambrosia, this divine nectar, this cosmic fluid, time and again gets into different beautiful containers, which are basically differently designed and decorated cups. And when this ambrosia comes to us through these lovely cups, we easily enjoy this nectar. We relish those timeless moments of divine taste and divine encounters. And even as we delight in those beautiful moments, they also quietly serve to lighten us, to lighten our worldly burdens and enlighten our inner beings. And so many such divine cups of ambrosia humanity has seen and experienced. Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, Jesus, Buddha and so on, all of them alluring cups of the divine cosmic ambrosia. And perhaps one of the most bewitching and intriguing and interesting cup of cosmic ambrosia is this adorable form of Lord Ganesha. Baby elephant head, penetrating eyes, four arms, handsome huge ears, beautiful tusk and a big belly, all of these harmoniously balanced and blended. No wonder this form of the divine has been a source of joy to so many for so many years, to young and old alike, for generations and centuries. Let's for a moment picturize this heartwarming form of the divine.
Shuklambaradharam Vishnu Sisivarnam Chaturbhujam Prasanna Vadanam Dhyaye विघ्नोपशान्तये अगजानन पद्मार्कं गजानन महर्निशं अने
auspicious beginnings starts yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside, our series on Thursday nights. And today, as the festival of Ganesh Chaturthi is around the corner, we will dwell on the potency and the profundity of the Ganesha principle, the first part of this program. Team Radio Sai Bishu, and the time in the studios now is 8:55, and for the next 60 minutes, as I mentioned, let us dwell on this principle which is adored as the primordial principle of the cosmos. On Ganesh Chaturthi Day 1998, Bhagwan said, Ganesha can make even the inauspicious occasions auspicious. He represents no commonplace principle. He is the embodiment of all potencies, the abode of every kind of intelligence, the river of prosperity, the source of all endowedness, the source of all prosperity. On Ganesh Chaturthi Day 1994, Bhagwan elucidated and explained the deeper import of this beautiful symbol of the divine. Let us listen to this 5-minute clip from that enlightening discourse, and then we'll proceed further understanding this principle.
What is that truest wealth? Sukhamu? Happiness?
Anandam?
Bliss?
ఈ రెండే మానవులకు నిజమైన ధనములు.
హ్యాపీనెస్ అండ్ బ్లిస్ ఆర్ ద ట్రూ వెల్త్ ఫర్ మ్యాన్కైండ్.
సుఖానందములు లేక ఎంత ధనముందు ప్రయోజనం ఏమిటి?
డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ వెల్త్ అండ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ వాట్ ఇస్ ద యూజ్ ఆఫ్ హ్యావింగ్ అదర్ థింగ్స్.
వికలుకుని సుఖము అందించేటువంటివాడు వినాయకుడు.
ద వన్ హూ గివ్స్ యూ బ్లిస్ ఇస్ వినాయక.
అతను బుద్ధి యొక్క శక్తి సామర్థ్యంలో కూడినటువంటి వాడు.
హీ ద వన్ హూ ఇస్ ద ఎంబోడిమెంట్ ఆఫ్ సుప్రీం ఇంటెలిజెన్స్.
ఈ బుద్ధి ఈ సిద్ధి రెండింటి యొక్క చేరిక చేతనే మానవులకు సుఖము ఆనందము లభ్యమవుతుండాలి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ బై ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అండ్ స్పిరిచువల్ ఎఫర్ట్ వన్ అబ్టైన్స్ బ్లిస్.
కనుకనే భౌతికమైన పురాణములు యందు సిద్ధి బుద్ధి వినాయకుని యొక్క భార్యలనియు.
ఇన్ ద పురాణ ఇట్ ఈస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ దట్ వినాయక హ్యాస్ టూ వైఫ్ సిద్ధి అండ్ బుద్ధి.
అనగా జ్ఞానమునకు బుద్ధికి అధిపతి అయినటువంటి వాడు కనుక ఈ యొక్క ఈ రెండింటికి పతి అని పేరు పెడుతూ వచ్చారు.
హీ ద వన్ హూ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ ద హస్బెండ్ ద మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ సిద్ధి అండ్ బుద్ధి.
కనుక సిద్ధి బుద్ధికి రెండింటికి మాస్టర్ అయినటువంటి వాడు కనుక సిద్ధి బుద్ధికి నాయకుడు, పతి అధిపతి వినాయకుడు.
దట్స్ వై వినాయక ఈజ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ ద మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ సుప్రీం ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అండ్ సుప్రీం విజ్డమ్.
ఈ బుద్ధి విజ్ఞానం యొక్క రెండింటి కూడిక చేతనే మానవులకు సుఖ ఆనందమును ప్రాప్తిస్తూ ఉన్నాయి.
ఇట్ ఈస్ బై సుప్రీం ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అండ్ సుప్రీం స్పిరిచువాలిటీ వన్ అబ్టైన్స్ బ్లిస్.
కనుకనే సుఖ ఆనందమును విజ్ఞానేశ్వరుని యొక్క కుమారుడు అని పేరు పెడుతూ వచ్చారు.
దట్స్ వై ఇట్ ఈస్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ దట్ సిద్ధి ఆర్ హిస్ ఓన్ చిల్డ్రన్.
లోక సంబంధమైనటువంటి యొక్క లౌకిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఈ భౌతిక సంబంధమైనటువంటి వారికి ఈ విధమైనటువంటి ఉపమానములే కొంత తృప్తిని అందిస్తుంటాయి.
టు ద వరల్డ్లీ పీపుల్ దీస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ సిమిలిస్ అండ్ మెటాఫర్స్ గివ్ దమ్ సమ్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్.
ఎట్టి అధిష్టము లేక ఎట్టి మనోభావము లేనటువంటి వినాయకులకు భార్యలేమిటి పుత్రులేమిటి?
హౌ కెన్ వినాయక హూ హ్యాస్ నో డిజైర్ ఎట్ ఆల్ హ్యావ్ చిల్డ్రన్ అండ్ వైఫ్?
పతి అనగా కేవలం భర్త అని కాదు, అధిపతి.
పతి డస్ నాట్ మీన్ హస్బెండ్, ఇట్ మీన్స్ మాస్టర్.
బుద్ధికి విజ్ఞానమునకు అధిపతి కనుకనే వాటికి రెండింటికి పతి అని పిలుస్తూ వచ్చారు.
సిన్స్ హీ ఇస్ ద లార్డ్ ఆఫ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ అండ్ విజ్డమ్, హీ ఇస్ నోన్ యాజ్ పతి.
ఇంకా కొన్ని రకమైనటువంటి వినాయకుడిని అనాది కాలం నుండి కూడా భారతీయులు ఆరాధిస్తూ వస్తున్నారు.
సిన్స్ టైమ్స్ ఇమ్మెమోరియల్ వినాయక హ్యాస్ బీన్ వర్షిప్డ్ ఇన్
కేవలం భారతీయులు మాత్రమే కాదు,
నాట్ ఓన్లీ ఇండియన్స్.
చరిత్రను బట్టి విచారించి చూడగా
వి ఎంక్వైర్ హిస్టారికల్లీ,
అనేక దేశముల వారు కూడా వినాయకుడు యొక్క తత్వమును అనాది కాలం నుండి కూడా అర్థం చేసుకుంటూ వచ్చారు.
ద పీపుల్ ఆల్ ఓవర్ ద వరల్డ్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ ట్రైయింగ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ థైలాండ్ వినాయక.
జపాను, జర్మనీ, బ్రిటిష్ అన్నిటిని కూడా ఈ వినాయకత్వం అనేటువంటి చక్కగా గుర్తించుతూ వచ్చారు.
ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ వినాయక హ్యాస్ బీన్ అండర్స్టూడ్ ఇన్ ఇంగ్లండ్, ఇన్ జర్మనీ, ఇన్ థాయిలాండ్ అండ్ అదర్
నేటికి కూడా థైలాండ్ లోపల వినాయకుని యొక్క విగ్రహాలు ఉంచుకుంటున్నారు.
ఈవెన్ టుడే ఇన్ థాయిలాండ్ వీ హావ్ ద ఐడల్స్ ఆఫ్ వినాయక.
వినాయకుని యొక్క పూజకు ఆద్యాంతములు లేవు.
దెర్ ఇస్ నో ఎండ్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ ఫర్ ద వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ వినాయక.
కారణం ఏమనగా
ద కాజ్ ఈజ్
అనాది వేదములు.
The Vedas are eternal.
Ananta nai vedaha, aneka vedamulu.
They are timeless and many.
Kani anni vedamulu endukodanu Ganapati yokka tattvanni chakkaga bodhisthu vachindi.
All these Vedas have declared and explained the principle of
Vinayaka. Taittiriya Upanishadu,
in Taittiriya Upanishad,
Om namo bhagavate ganaya namaha annadi.
Om namo
bhagavate ganaya. Inka నారాయణ ఉపనిషత్తు నందు
నారాయణ ఉపనిషత్
చక్కగా మన పిల్లలు కొన్ని దిన్నము చెప్తుంటారు.
అవర్ బాయ్ చాంట్ ఎవ్రీ డే
తత్ విఘ్నేశ్వరం భజే,
తత్ విఘ్నేశ్వరం భజే
అనగా గాయత్రి మంత్రం నందు కూడా ఈ విఘ్నేశ్వర యొక్క స్వరూపం వస్తుంటారు.
ఇన్ ద గాయత్రి మంత్ర ఆల్సో దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ రిఫరెన్స్ టు విఘ్నేశ్వర తత్వ.
తన్నో విజయాత్ అనగా తన్న సర్వం ప్రచోదయాత్, తన్న దంతో ప్రచోదయాత్. దంతమనగా విఘ్నేశ్వరుకున్నటువంటిది.
దట్ రిఫరెన్స్ టు దంత, ఇట్ రిఫరెన్స్ టు వినాయక.
ఈ విధంగా సర్వోపనిషత్తులందు కూడా వినాయకుని యొక్క నామము చక్కగా స్పష్టంగా గుర్తింపబడటానికి వీలవుతుంది.
ఆల్ ఉపనిషత్ అండ్ వేదాస్ హ్యావ్ స్పెసిఫికలీ మెన్షన్డ్ అబౌట్ వినాయక.
సో దట్ వాస్ ఫ్రమ్ గణేష్ చతుర్థి డే 1994, and like this every year on this day Baba explained at length the inner significance of every aspect of this form of the divine. Like in this discourse where Baba clearly says that people consider Siddhi and Buddhi as the wives of Lord Ganesha, that is a very mundane way of looking at things. As Baba explained, Lord Ganesha actually has no desires and no children. He is not the pati or the husband of Siddhi and Buddhi, but the Adhipati, that is the master of intelligence and wisdom. Similarly, Baba explained, Ganapati means, people think, the one who is the leader of all celestial beings, all Ganas. In so many discourses, Swami has said that Ganas refer to our sense organs, our intellect and our mind. So, Ganapati is truly the lord of our senses and mental faculties. Again, Moshika Vahana, the Lord with the rat as his vehicle, means the one who subdues our ignorance, rat signifying our dark tendencies, our tamoguna. Gajanana means the one with elephantine head, meaning just like the elephant who is kind, one of gratitude and who is humble, at the same time full of strength and power, the one to lead the way even in a dense jungle, the one who walks and when he walks, creates the path for other animals in the forest. The elephant is the trailblazer. That is what is signified by the Lord having the head of an elephant. And look at the harmony of nature in the Ganesha form. He is a beautiful symphony of flora and fauna. There is the elephant head, there is the rat and the snake on his belly, representations from the animal kingdom. And then what is offered to him? He is worshipped with the grass, the dubha grass and fruits. And what does he give? He's holding in his hand, ready to drop into our hands, a sweet modaka. And again, this modaka is something which is steam cooked, which has no oil content and most nutritious. And of course, tasty. So therefore, there are plenty of subtle lessons if only we care to reflect and ruminate and then imbibe and implement. We should not despise any creature. We should eat healthy. We should be vegetarian. We should be loving and sweet, of a giving nature, always conferring sweetness on others through our presence, through our manners, through our words, through our smiles. No wonder Ganesha has been worshipped since the ancient time, since the time of the Vedas, and not only in India, as Bhagwan is mentioning in this discourse, but also in so many other parts of the world, in Thailand, in Russia. And the experiences and benefits people have derived by this worship and adoration has only intensified this devotion to the Vinayaka principle over the centuries. In India, it is almost a universal festival, just like Holi and Diwali, where everybody participates, doesn't matter which region or religion one belongs to. It is an occasion of joy and gaiety. And in Prashantinalam, in the divine presence, it has been observed with so much color and green, grandeur and creativity. Just a couple of days ago, I had the chance to talk to Mr. Ved Narayan, one of the very senior alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who now teaches Sanskrit in Baba's school in Prashantinilayam and leads the Vedam chanting in the mandir every day. And as I was discussing with him about the Ganesha principle, he shared many interesting anecdotes and insights which he has directly witnessed and experienced staying at the lotus feet of Bhagwan. And I thought I must share with you a small extract of this narration of Mr. Ved Narayan.
Saira, it was the year 1976, was the first time I had the great good fortune to be with the Lord on Vinaya Jyoti Day. That was the time I had just joined Bhagavan's college in Vrindavan, and that particular day, Swami came to the hostel, and Swami brought with him Brahmasri Kamavadani Garu to do the puja. We had a Ganesha idol which was made, and Swami personally came and sat for the puja. And while the puja was going on, Swami, first thing Swami asked was, where is Ganesha? So such a question, he could not answer. Then what Swami did? Swami waved his hand and created a beautiful Ganesha, silver Ganesha, and he put it in the shrine. Then the next question he asked, how can the son be there without mother? Mother also should be there. Then Swami again waved his hand and created Mother Parvati, and handed over that both should be worshipped. Because I clearly remember that was the first time we are seeing Swami creating a Ganesha idol and Parvati hand in hand. And I had the good fortune, because they at that time Dr. Lakshmi Narasimha sir was our assistant warden, and he felt that every day worship should be done for these two idols. And I had the great fortune, good fortune of doing that for almost like 4 or 5 years. And that was, and in fact, that is the very same day the general hospital in Whitefield was inaugurated by Bhagwan, that the same day evening it was inaugurated. Apart from that, when I was there in the hostel, some boys felt that instead of buying the Ganesha idols from somewhere from the market, they felt that we can make our own Ganesha. So they had brought so much of clay from somewhere, and at that time the new hostel, which is Essence Singh block, was not occupied in Vrindavan. So in the basement of that, they had put one wooden structure, and on that they were about to make the Ganesha. Suddenly a small rat appeared from nowhere, and it went straight under the plank wherein which the Ganesha this has to be built. So they did not disturb it, and this the making of the Ganesha, it really took nearly 4 or 5 days. And once the completion is over, in fact till that time that little rat stayed on. It did not go anywhere. It stayed on till the work was completed. And that day I clearly remember that when we were waiting for darshan, those days we never used to sit for darshan, we used to stand for darshan. And we used to walk around Swami whenever he used to go for darshan. So Swami came out, and Swami spotted the boy who was making Ganesha. And Swami called and asked him, how is the Ganesha? I said, Swami, by your grace, everything is coming up. Then Swami asked, how is that little rat? Then only it occurred to us that it is Swami who is actually being present there at all the time and guiding the making of the Ganesha. And the aspect of Ganesha, it is from time immemorial, because Ganesha is one of the Vedic gods, because Rig Veda is considered as the one of the oldest of the Vedas. And even in Rig Veda, the description and the prayer to Lord Ganesha, in fact we chant in the mandir also, we have the Ganesha Suktam, which is from the Rig Veda. And the beauty of this Ganesha, everybody, Swami was there once there to say, irrespective of any caste, everybody worshipped Lord Ganesha. He is the Vigna Vinashaka. He is the remover of all the obstacles. More than that, he is also the Pradata of Siddhi and Buddhi. Siddhi attainment, Buddhi intelligence, without which we cannot lead our life. And the beauty of Ganesha is, I had the great good fortune of getting a vision of the Lord. Swami had given me the vision of Lord Ganesha in a little baby form. A little baby with a little small trunk and little small ears, and shaking his head this way and that way. I had the greatest good fortune of having that vision of Swami in the form of Lord Ganesha. See, I was somehow got attached to Lord Ganesha, and I have been intensely praying. And one, in fact, in the Ganapati Adarvashirsham, it has been said that if you chant, in Ganapati Adarvashirsham actually describes how Lord Ganesha should be worshipped. And there is a powerful Bija Mantra in course of time they have described. If you chant that, you will definitely get the vision of Lord Ganesha. So, from the beginning, my mind is like that of more of a rationalist. I wanted to experiment everything and see. Without that, I don't accept anything. Or do I tell anybody anything about it? So that is how I took it up as a challenge. And I started doing that Bija Mantra. And the result was, one day Swami did give me the vision of Lord Ganesha as a little baby. That is how, if the continuous practice, this all shows that whenever we do something sincerely, the result is assured. There is absolutely no question of that. In fact, you will be one, you would have, we all come to know of the story of the Swami giving the vision of the golden Ganapati to Amrita Swami Amritananda from the Ramanasram. for Swami Amritananda, the first time he was in the Ramanasram before, and first time Swami called him for an interview here. Of course, he was not a devotee of Swami. He heard about Swami. Swami called him, and first thing Swami did was, Swami called him, like Ramana used to call him in his pet name, Amritam. So that is first thing which struck him. The second thing, Swami took him to the inner interview room. Those days, inner interview room, there was no special room at all. Swami used to call for inner interview if he want to speak to someone. Swami used to call to the staircase room. I don't know those who have gone inside that room. There is hardly any space. There will be exact space for you and Swami to stand. That's all. Next is the staircase, winding staircase which is going upstairs. That was the room. And there Swami asked him, do you remember a yajna which you performed as a boy of 7? Do you remember that? And he said, yes Swami, I had did a Ganapati Homam. And what was that Ganapati Homam? For 21 days, he has to chant one mantra and 1008 coconuts should be offered to the fire. That was the yajna. And those days, imagine there is plenty of coconut trees, and those were the days when especially the Nambudris were, they were all very wealthy and everything is taken care of for them. So this boy was there to perform such a yajna for 21 days. And I found out the Bija mantra which has to be chanted is exactly the same thing what is mentioned in the Ganapati Adarashirsha. So he chanted that and he was offering the coconuts. And Swami asked him, what is the Phalasruti of that? He says, Swami, at the end of the 21 days, Ganapati will appear in the golden form, in the fire itself. And the last offerings will be accepted by him. So did it happen? Swami asked. He said, no, Swami, because I was only a small boy. So Swami said, no. If in the scriptures it has been said that it has to happen, it has to happen. There is no question of small or big in that. Then Swami was there to say, that is the reason why you are there here today. And I will grant you that vision. And Swami was there. He appeared before him in the, it as said in the scriptures, Koti Surya Samaprabha. He was having the brilliance of crores of sun. And immediately after that, Amritananda swooned. I remember Kasturi telling us that later he has to be shifted to a room where in which he took rest for 2-3 days before he could become normal. So that is the type of vision Bhagavan was there to grant him. And what is the significance of worship of this little beautiful Lord Ganesha? See, unlike any other god, he has got an elephant head. And this represent, elephants are number one, they are the most intelligent animals. So Ganesha is not only intelligent, and even the elephants also, they are the leaders. Vigataha Nayakaha Isisa. He doesn't have any other, elephants go in the front, they break, nothing is important, nothing as an obstacle for them. Even if any obstacle is there, they remove all the trees, and in the forest, they make their own way. In fact, all the other animals prefer to go behind an elephant to find their way. So even if it's in a dense forest, elephants, they will find their own way. So that is another significance, Lord Ganesha having the elephant head, that he removes all the obstacles from our life, in the material life as well as in the spiritual life. And let us also see, he has got four hands. And in his four hands, he is in one of the hands, Pasha, and the other hand he has got Angusha. Pasha refers to the rope, and the other hand he has got the Angusha, which is the mace. And the third hand he has got the beautiful sweet. And the fourth hand, he is showing the abhayam. What is the significance of this? In fact, if you pray to Lord Ganesha, what he does? He will first, he start allure you. He will show you the sweet. He say, come, I will give you the sweet. Because sweet is something everybody likes. And we go near Ganesha. And when you go near Ganesha to accept the sweet, what does he do? With the pasha, with the rope he has got, he will tie you down to himself. He will not allow you to go. And with his mace, he will cut asunder all your worldly ties. He will cut asunder all your worldly ties, and with the pasha, he will tie yourself onto him. And then what he will give you? He will give you abhayam, protection. So this is the significance of, in the four hands, he is having pasha, angusha, and also the sweet as well as the abhayahasta. Then look at him. He has got as a vahana, a small mouse. It is called mushika. It is not even a full grown rat. It is only a mushika. It is a baby rat. It is a mushika. And what is the significance of this? The significance, in fact, Ganesha rides over this little mouse. We will be wondering, how can such a huge belly Ganesha can ride on such a small mouse? The inner significance of that is, mouse is something which always loves darkness. They will be present wherever there is darkness. And they don't like light at all. Whenever the light is on, they will not even come out. They always like darkness. So, this mouse represents our inner darkness, which is our ignorance. So, Lord Ganesha pretty well sit on that. And when he is there, everything illumines. So, he is also the deity who removes our ignorance and gives us buddhi and siddhi. So that is why we worship Lord Ganesha before anybody else. And in Kali Yuga especially, there are few deities who have been said very, very powerful deities. They say that one is Lord Ganesha. One is Lord Ganesha and another is Devi worship. These deities, they can they are like, I cover Lord, they are very sulabha prasannas. They get pleased very fast and they can manifest in front of the devotees. Which most of the other gods, it is very, very difficult to get a vision of Lord Krishna, or even to a certain extent Lord Shiva, yes, difficult. But to get a vision of Lord Vinayaka, it is very easy. He is easily pleased and he is more like a child who can be pleased so fast. Swami also has given lot of importance to Lord Ganesha, and we can see near our entrance itself, any devotee who has to come inside, Lord Ganesha is the first person who is sitting and receiving all the devotees. You know, where it is so significant that when God has taken avatar and we are going for his darshan, and just imagine who is welcoming us is really his own son. Whenever it gives lot of importance, because it is natural that when we go to anybody's house, either the main person or somebody who is mainly in charge of the house, they come out and welcome us. And it is so significant that Lord little Ganesha sits there and welcoming each and every one, because he loves you to directly take you to his Lord. And he assures you that you have come to the right place. And here are my parents pretty well sitting and waiting for you. Please come and see. Once you come inside, because you are entering the abode of supreme peace, and he is going to grant you not only for this life, even for the lives to come. So Swami had installed him there. Not only that, for the children's sake, he has installed one Ganesha in the institute. And later, during the 60th birthday time, during the stadium, when the stadium construction was on, various deities were, the Lord Sun and many deities were brought. And in that one was a little Ganesha and Parvati. And Swami was so gracious enough to send that Ganesha to higher secondary school. And it was a huge, almost 7-footer Ganesha. Even today, he sits pretty well in front of our school. And all the children comes, and before going inside, they have to salute him. And during exam time, he is in full demand. We can see him, so many chocolates around him. And we know the silent message of the students in the Vinayaka, what goes on. And apart from this, for when the Sai Kulland Hall was constructed, Swami brought one Vinayaka. But when this Vinayaka was brought, I had the good fortune to be inside. And Swami told, it was more black in color, and it was giving an old look because of the, more of an archaic look it was having. And Swami felt that, no, it should be more of golden color. And Swami said, why don't you boys try to remove that black color and polish it? But as and when we tried our level best, but it was not the, Swami himself was personally sitting and watching. And we started in the back side, and it was, then Swami said, just leave it, don't do anything. And that Ganesha was installed in Sai Kulwant Hall as the main deity. Later, after the Divine Samadhi, in fact, during when the authorities felt that Swami Samadhi has to be there, so the question arose, where the Ganesha, so for the temporary, he was shifted inside. And later, I found that they wanted to install the same Ganesha in front of the Gopuram. But on Gopuram side, when people are entering, there is nobody. So they made sure that Lord Ganesha is there too. This is all divine sankalpa. And not only that, when that particular day of installation I was there, I could not believe it was the same old Ganesha, because the authorities had sent them for polishing, and when it came, it was like the golden Ganesha which Swami wanted from that day. So even Swami's sankalpa, see, though it is something very, very insignificant, though he has already made the sankalpa, it is going to be a golden Ganesha, but it is its own time. And that day when I saw the installation of Lord Ganesha in front of Lord Rama and Sita, and in between Lord Rama and Sita and the Gopuram, when they installed that Lord Ganesha, I could not believe my eyes. And immediately what Swami was telling us, asked us to clean, and we were struggling with that, and Swami said, just leave it, because everything has got its own beautiful time.
So that was Mr. Vedanarayan sharing his moments of experiencing the Ganesha principle, and also witnessing how Bhagwan stressed so much on the adoration, worship of Lord Ganesha. And wasn't that last thought so beautiful? The Lord having his son welcome every devotee to his abode, Lord Ganesha sitting in front of the Gopuram gate, staged in front of the eastern gate, welcoming every devotee to Prashanthi Nilayam, eager to take every devotee to the Lord. How beautiful is this thought? In fact, in every Sai center, one would always find a statue or a picture of Lord Ganesha. We may or may not have image of any other deity, but Ganesha definitely is present. Every Sai Bhajan sessions begin with Ganesha Bhajan, and Ganesha worship is mandatory before taking up any puja or project, any endeavor. Every Sai educational institution has a Ganesha statue or a place of worship. If, as Mr. Vedanarayan mentioned, in the higher secondary school, it is right at the entrance. In the institute, the Ganesha temple stands at the college quadrangle, and both the hostel, school and the institute have small Ganesha enclosures at their entrances. Bhagavan, in his own inimitable and mysterious ways, has instilled into every student the potency and the profundity of the Ganesha principle. And often he would materialize rings and chains, lockets and pendants with Lord Ganesha embedded in them. And through these acts of divine materializations convey messages that are multidimensional and manifold. At this point, let me now play for you one such experience. And this is the story by my colleague Arvind Bala Subramanya. And after this, we will listen to one more tale, one more beautiful experience by another colleague. So let's now go to Arvind. This conversation I had with him just a couple of days ago, where he goes on to share how Bhagwan blessed him with a beautiful Ganesha one eventful morning in 2009.
Saram Arvind, Ganesh Chaturthi is just a few days away, and even as I was thinking of trying to collect different experience of students who have had experiences connected with Ganesha and or Bhagwan, this came to me that there was an occasion when Bhagwan blessed you with a beautiful chain which had a Ganesha pendant. Oh. And if I remember right, you were not well that time. There was some fracture in your leg, and I remember that scene when Bhagwan came out of the interview room. Mm-hmm. And he called you, and everyone was feeling very sorry because, you know, there was this cast on your leg and you were not in your full form to do photography. So all were feeling very sad. Everyone wished that you had healed fast, and Bhagwan came that day and he blessed you with a chain, and we all were very happy. And what I do know is that was a pendant of Lord Ganesha. Tell us the entire story.
Yeah, Arjun. I mean, what you have said is definitely one part of the story, and it brings so many wonderful memories back to me. But that story has so many angles and facets to it. You know, it began sometime in June when I was playing badminton. June 2009. I was playing badminton and I twisted my foot. It became painful. A swelling came in my foot, in my left foot. And then when I went to the hospital, they said that it's quite a bad injury. Though there's no bone broken, you will need to keep your leg in cast for at least about 4 to 5 weeks for it to heal, because it's a muscle tear, it's quite bad. So we'll be putting a cast. So that was how my leg went into a cast. And that same night, I had a very interesting kind of dream, if I may say so. In the dream, I was trying to show Swami my broken foot, and I was trying to win his sympathy. But then Swami was totally avoiding me. He seemed slightly upset also. He didn't want to look at me for some reason. And in the dream, the feeling that came in me was, because I am trying to show my broken foot to Swami, Swami is upset with me. And then I woke up. Now, during those days, on a regular basis, here and there, Swami would interact a bit with me, or Swami would speak to me. And so, it used to be wonderful times. And this dream was like a bad omen for me. I thought that because of my broken foot, I don't want Swami to get upset. And because he had already indicated in the dream that he wasn't interested, or he didn't want to look at my broken foot, I decided that I would hide my foot from him. In fact, I remember I went to the hospital. The cast that had been put up till my knee. I got the cast removed and told them to put a cast only till, you know, somewhere above my ankle, like a sock, so that I can wear my pant over the cast.
So that as inconspicuous as possible.
Correct. And you know, I would sit comfortably stretching my leg during darshan till Swami arrived. Once Swami arrives, I sit back cross-legged and hide my cast. So, in a physical sense, Swami never came to know that my leg was in cast. And one more reason why he never came to know was, that was a period of about 7-8 days when there were no programs in the mandir.
Yes.
So, I didn't have to get up and do photography, because of which Swami physically never got a chance to notice my cast. Then what happened was, one day, as I was walking out of the mandir, Professor Bhagya from the MBA department, I revere him a lot and take his words very seriously, he called me and he told me, out of the blue, he just said, Arvind, I see that your leg is in cast. You know, I feel somebody's evil eye has fallen on you. You know, in India there's this concept of evil eye. That is, if you are very successful or if something good is happening, when people look at you with jealousy or envy, something bad strikes you so that it neutralizes that otherwise terrible effects of the jealousy and envy. That is a belief. And when he told this to me, I did not take it very seriously. I just thought that out of his good intentions he is telling me. So I said, thank you, sir. Then he advised me some things. He said, you know, why don't you take some salt water and have a bath in salt water? That will take it away. So I just nodded my head. And as I was going back to my room, I was once again accosted, this time by Vedanarayan sir. And he said, Arvind, I just want to tell you something. So I went to him. And can you believe it? He says, Arvind, I think your leg is broken because of somebody's evil eye.
Oh my
and
God.
This was two in a row within 10 minutes. And I felt that this is not a coincidence. I just felt that this was Swami telling me something through another person because I didn't take the first person seriously. And Vedanarayan sir said, take some rock salt, put it in water and have bath in that. I thought, oh my God, okay. So I really did that. You know, I went and had put rock salt in water and had bath and that evening and went to bed. Before going to bed, I got to know that within 2-3 days time, a lot of devotees were arriving for their Parthi Yatra from the East and West Godavari districts. And they had 3 programs scheduled in the mandir, which means that I had to do photography, which I could not do if my leg was in cast. So I remember before going to bed, that night I was in the studio, I sat in front of Swami's picture and I said, Swami, from what message you have sent me, this is not a physical problem. This is a drishti problem, that is an evil eye problem. So it is not a physical problem, so why should I give it a physical solution, which is a cast? 8 days my leg had been in cast. I said, Swami, if you permit, I will go and remove the cast tomorrow. The doctors have said it should be on for 5 weeks. But if it is not a medical problem, why should I give a medical solution? So I put chits in front of Swami's picture. And the chit came as, yes, get it removed. So I decided that next day morning, I would go to the hospital and get the cast removed. Because it's not a medical problem, but a drishti problem. That is an evil eye problem. It was just 8 days. And I thought, I will tell the doctor that Swami has told, get it removed. Because for me, the chits were as authentic as Swami telling. So that night I went and slept in the room. Next day morning I got up. And I knew that I had to take bath and go to the hospital to get the cast removed. The first thought that came in my head was, Swami, whatever people may say about evil eye. Swami had given me a chain with locket off his bust in Abhayasta pose. So I held on to that chain and I said, Swami, when you are there with me, how can any evil eye fall on me? That was my thought. And then I got up about to go for bath and in an instant I heard a snapping sound. My chain had just snapped for no reason and it fell out. It fell onto the floor and I picked it up and I saw the chain had been constituted by many small parts. Each part had 4 holes at one end and 4 flaps at the other end. The 4 flaps go into the 4 holes of the next link and that's how the whole chain is constituted. I saw that the 4 holes had been crushed and the 4 flaps also had been crushed inside and the link had got snapped and I had not done anything. It just got snapped and I quickly began to think that just a minute ago I said, Swami, this chain is there, where can an evil eye touch me? And this chain was my protection against the evil eye, I thought. And even as I had thought that, this protection of mine had just shattered. And that got me really scared. I didn't know what to do. I called up one of my colleagues who knew a good jeweler in Puttaparthi and I asked him, do you think he will repair this chain for me? He said, yeah, you don't worry. After bhajans, after the morning bhajans, we'll go there. So I thought that first, you know, let me go and get it repaired by the jeweler. And I don't think I'll remove my cast now because, you know, if Swami's chain cannot protect me from the evil eye because it has got snapped like this, what, I better leave the cast on for a while. But in the meanwhile, I just felt like calling one more colleague, you know, whom Swami used to speak to frequently. I called him and asked him, you know, this is what I'm planning to do, get the chain repaired. He said, Arvind, Swami gave you the chain, so I think you tell Swami only that this happened, what should be done. I had a secret fear, you know, I felt that if Swami says, I've seen Swami asking some people to return back a broken chain or a broken ring, and that's it, they are chainless and ringless. I preferred a broken chain to nothing, so I felt getting it repaired and wearing would be better. Then the brother advised me, he said, you know, you tell Swami this only, you tell Swami, Swami, I want to get it repaired and wear it, and take, seek Swami's blessings and get it done. I thought that was a good idea. So I called up one more colleague of mine to drop me to the mandir. I hoped Swami would come for morning darshan, because those days darshan was not a sure thing in the morning.
2009.
So, as I was going to mandir itself, you know, Swami came up for darshan, which meant that by the time I reached mandir, Swami was on the gent side granting darshan, so there was no way I could go and sit. So I went from a back door, from the back door to the bhajan hall, and just sat in the bhajan hall. That is where you saw me, and you thought that I had come because I had a fracture, but it was not because of my broken leg that I had come, it was because of broken chain.
Oh my God, you didn't know any of this.
So, and I was feeling very bad, and Swami went into the interview room. That was the time I called up my parents on the phone and I wept. I wept and told them that, you know, my chain is broken. They consoled me, they said, don't worry, you're there, you pray, Swami, Swami will bless you. And I had to cut the call because Swami was coming. And Swami suddenly entered the from the interview room into the bhajan hall. And the minute Swami came in, he just looked at me and said, what happened to your leg? What happened to your foot? When Swami asked that question, I remembered the dream where he had told me that where I felt he had indicated to me that I don't want to see your broken foot. So I wanted to divert the topic. So I somehow got up and went to him and I told him, Swami, forget my foot. Swami, what happened to the chain, Swami? I asked him back. He said, you answer my question. What happened to your foot? Then I said, Swami, I was playing. It's a small sprain, Swami. It'll all be fine. You don't worry. You know, I reassured Swami. And I said, but Swami, what happened to my chain? Swami asked, what happened to your chain? And then he parted my collar to see the chain on my neck. I said, Swami, it is no longer there. Swami asked, what happened? I said, Swami, it's in my pocket. It broke. Today morning, Swami, I was like pleading non-guilty. I said, Swami, I didn't do anything, Swami. I just didn't do anything. It simply broke and it's in my pocket. Swami, if you wish to see, I'll take it out and show you. Because I had seen sometimes Swami would say, don't show in public. So I said, Swami, if you wish to see, I'll show it to you. Swami said, show me. So I took it out in my palm and showed him the broken chain. He saw it. He picked it up. He put it back in my pocket and said, you keep it there. I said, okay. And Swami just turned his attention to another student and started speaking to him. He had somebody who was sick in Assam, and Swami was consoling him and giving him, telling him that he will send Vibhuti, he can go visit that person and come back. And I mean, the topic totally changed off. So I was thinking, oh God, now what? Should I carry the chain in my pocket? That was when I thought, I'll get up and ask him, Swami, can I get it repaired and wear it? You know,
that was the original intention.
That's what. So I thought, I'll ask anyway. So even as I got up to ask, Swami turned and said, hey, I will give you a new chain and that will be very strong. And again he turned back to that boy and continued talking to him. And I sat back. In a few moments I remembered how, you know, different promises Swami had made to different people. To one of my classmates, Swami said, tomorrow I will give you a pendant. 6 years after that, he had still not got his pendant. You know, so time frames with Swami vary so much. So now I thought, I will ask Swami, Swami, at least till you give me the new chain, I will repair and wear this.
Okay.
I just got up. Swami turned to me and said, you just cannot wait. Don't worry, I will give now. And right in front of my eyes there, he began to wave his hand and out popped another chain and he held it up. You know, with his hands, both his hands, he held it up and I broke down. I was in tears. Swami said, come here. Oh, then that was when the boy behind Swami also said, you come front, because Swami is wanting to put it around your neck. So I moved front, then Swami put it. He put the pendant inside into my shirt and then said, this is strong, it won't break, you don't worry. Then I just had no, I said, Swami, I was just stuttering there, I just didn't know what, this was like some warranty replacement, you know, give the defective good and forget giving back the defective good. I had kept the original chain was also in my pocket. So Swami said, no, don't speak anything, have love and be happy, have love and be happy. He patted my cheek and sent me back. And then Swami left. It was after Swami left that I saw that it was a Ganesha, a beautiful Ganesha. And first thing is I called up again my parents and again I was crying. My parents thought something terrible happened. I was crying and saying, Mom, Dad, you know what? Swami came and gave me chain like this. you know, that is what Swami does, you know. You'll be, when he finds you crying, he stops the tears of sorrow and starts tears of joy. I was again crying. I mean, I was crying before, I was crying afterwards. Later on when I came back, I was almost, I was in cloud nine, I was floating. When I came back to my senses, I saw that this Ganesha is like a Natya Ganesha, is dancing. But Ganesha is standing in the pendant. And when I checked on the internet, even now if you see, there's something called the Drushti Ganesha. A Ganesha who is supposed to ward off the evil eye. And Drushti Ganesha is always standing.
Oh,
okay.
Fantastic.
I saw that and I realized, oh my God. Then as a, you know, as a completion for this incident, the only thing that kept bothering me was, Swami, this means that Drushti affects us? I mean, if you are still there, what about people who have not got chains from you? Why this Drushti? Why is that something somebody else looking at me can affect me in this manner? You know, even as I was thinking about this, I came across an incident in the life of Sri Paramahamsa Yogananda. It is recorded in his book, Autobiography of a Yogi, and that answered my question and I felt thrilled. In that, his guru Yukteswar Giri tells him, Mukunda, get yourself an astrological amulet and wear it. So he asks, Master, why should I wear it? So Master says, you know, because the planets, they have that influence, they can. So he also gets this question. He says, Master, when you are there, do I need some magical amulet to protect me against the planets? Planets are benign. I don't think they have any malevolent attitude or intentions towards us. Then the guru tells him that, see, the truth is, everything is divine, nothing affects anything. But you know, people are lost, they don't make any attempt to discover the truth. If life went on hunky-dory without any problem, nobody will make any attempt at all to find out the truth. But you know, when I tell you that that planet will affect you unless you do this, righteous anger comes in, you feel, how can it be possible? And that is what brought you into spirituality and makes you reach a stage where you realize that the planet actually does not affect you in any way because you and the planet are one. In order to prod you out of your laziness into active spirituality to discover that truth, that is why all these things are made like that. That is why problems also come in life, because once you go beyond the truth, you know, there's nothing called a problem in life. I have no problems in life. That's what Yukteswar Giri says, and that's what Swami used to always say. I have no sorrows. I don't know the meaning of anger. I'm always happy. We always wonder, you know, how can Swami be happy? He's having a broken hip, he's having a broken leg, and he has no freedom, he cannot go for a stroll in the garden, so many restrictions. But Swami is always happy. And that is when I realized that all these things that our traditional practices say, you know, the evil eye, protect yourself from this, take to the name of God, all this are meant to ignite you out of your inertia into actively pursuing spirituality so that what you know in theory, that everything is one and nothing can affect me, becomes a reality too, where
they are fantastic reminders.
Exactly.
Fantastic reminders to get into that path. And what is most significant is, you know, when Swami gave you that, he patted your cheeks and said, be happy. You know, develop love and be happy. Yeah. These are all perhaps reminders for us towards that goal, to be always happy.
Even to this day, you know, when some problem comes or something, it is so close to my heart, literally and figuratively, you know,
yes,
this chain.
Yes.
And while I'm having a bath, I just see the chain and it reminds me. It
yes.
reminds me that, you know, all you have to do is have love and be happy.
Happy.
Nothing can affect you.
Yes. Yes.
So this chain is now symbolic of this Drushti Ganesha that Swami has given me.
Yes.
Is Swami's way of reminding me, come what may in your life, have love and be happy.
Have the drishti of only Swami.
Correct. Correct.
Have the drishti of only Swami.
Because
as Swami says, you know, there is no problem with drishti. It's only with our drishti. We have the vision of Swami, then world is also beautiful.
Correct. Then nobody's drishti can affect you.
Affect. Wonderful.
So this was the story.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Arvind. I think this is definitely a very, very revealing incident at many levels. And I think I will leave the listeners to discern for themselves the message that they can get. Because for every person, it can give a different meaning.
And that's how. This is what I have felt.
Yes. And different persons will get their own meaning depending on how Bhagwan guides them. Thank you so much, Arvind.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
So that was Arvind Balasubramanian. What can evil I do? For that matter, what can any evil come to you when you have the God of all auspiciousness with you? And it is to always keep our minds focused on that, that we have all the symbols of that divine ambrosia. As I said, Bhagwan in fact gives us more symbols, symbols in the forms of rings and chains, so that we call on those lovely and lively symbols, Lord Ganesha, Lord Krishna, Lord Rama. They too are those beautiful, as we discussed, cups of ambrosia, of divine ambrosia. And the way Bhagwan does this, so that it remains etched in our memory forever, is he creates such beautiful situations so that these moments become eternal sources of support and inspiration for us. And there are so many who have had such incredible experiences. And let me bring you one more before we wind up for this Thursday. This is the story of Ganesh, another colleague of mine, an alumnus of Baba's University, who now looks after our Telugu program, the Telugu stream on Radio Sai. And he too was blessed to receive a Ganesha gift from Bhagwan.
Saram Ganesh.
Saram
Ganesh Chaturthi is round the corner, and I was trying to collect as many experiences of students and devotees who have had that profound experience of the Ganesha principle. And even as I was thinking of so many people, it just occurred that, you know, why am I going all around when you are there in the studios, a colleague working, and you've had that beautiful chance of performing in front of Bhagwan on Vinayak Chaturthi Day. In 2004, you had the chance to perform a dance, Ganesh Pancharatna.
Yes.
So it would be really nice if you can share that experience, because you had the chance to offer in front of Bhagwan, and it was a beautiful finale of that day's program.
Yes, surely, Bishwadhar. First of all, I offer my prayers to the Vighna Vinasha, Lord Ganesha.
Yes.
As everybody knows, the Ganesh Chaturthi is a very, very grand festival that is celebrated in the student circle, because he is loved by more the students than other devotees. Because Swami Ganesha, students.
Yes.
Marks a very close thread and a sweet relationship. And all of you would have seen that the culmination of the Ganesh Chaturthi festival will happen in a very beautiful and a colorful way, where the boys get a chance to display their creativity at their best.
Yes.
When they make beautiful chariots and palanquins and get Ganesha from the hostel to our Sai Shiva. So, but here is one beautiful incident where the creator himself had created a masterpiece, a masterpiece to display his finesse, and he makes people wonder, yes, and we get lost in the creation so much that we forget the creator. We have to keep in mind the creator first. So this was one such experience. This was in the year 2004, Ganesh Chaturthi, September 18th was the date. We had an opportunity to offer a program on Ganesha, presenting the significance of Ganesh Chaturthi. And Swami gave me an opportunity to dance for Ganesha Pancharatnam, Mudakarata Modakam. So after the dance got over, some more songs were going on. So in the meantime, Swami had called the organizer of the program, one of our colleagues, our classmate. He called him and asked, who did the dance for the Ganesha song? And the boy told Swami, the boy sitting there. Then the boy called me, I went to Swami, the boy went back and sat. Then Swami asked me, Deniki dance chesav, for which song did you dance? Then I told Swami, for Ganesha Pancharatna.
There are five stanzas adoring Lord Ganesha.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Pancharatna. Five gems actually.
Five gems. And Swami asked, this was a very startling question to me, who sang the song? It was M.S. Amma who had sang the song.
M.S. Subbalakshmi Garu.
Yes. And Swami was all the more happy, because the soft corner that he has for her devotion and for her soul-stirring songs. So then he was so happy, and he asked me, do you worship Ganesha?
I told, yes, Swami. Then he told me, sit. So as the bhajans were going on, the prasadam was being distributed, I was sitting right next to Swami for almost 5-10 minutes. Then Swami called, do you like Ganesha? Then I told Swami, yes, I like Ganesha, Swami. Then Swami waved his hand and he created a golden Ganesha for me.
Golden Ganesha?
Golden Ganesha. And I was just wonderstruck with the beauty of his creation. It was so very elegant as usual. But one thing that struck me immediately was, we have heard so many people getting so many idols of so many gods and Swami telling them to do Abhishekam and take the water, Tirtham. So I asked in curiosity to Swami, Swami, should I do Abhishekam to this Ganesha daily? Then Swami had given an answer that was, it was like an eye-opener for me. Swami told, you need not do puja. You just show it to everyone and give them happiness.
Give happiness.
Give happiness.
Wow.
This was one beautiful experience that I had. And till now, it's etched very clearly in my heart. And I show it to whomever I come across. And they feel so happy seeing the creation.
Wonderful. And we are so happy listening this Ganesha story from Ganesha.
Yes.
From Ganesh. I mean, you are so blessed that way. Because your parents named you Ganesha. And Sai Ganesha blessed you with a real Ganesha.
Yes.
For you to give happiness to all. He didn't even tell do worship. Just give happiness to all.
Yes.
It's so beautiful. What is the size of the statue?
It's almost 3 to 4 centimeters.
Little one.
Yes, little one.
Little one.
And the design of the Ganesha is exactly the same as the one which used to be in the portico behind Swami.
In the Sai Kulwanth Hall?
Yes, in the Sai
Kulwanth Hall. Ganesha that we used to see,
yes,
behind Swami's
chair. Behind Swami's chair.
The same design.
The same design. And the Upanayanam, the thread, Yajnopavitam.
Yes.
And the Mushikam,
yes.
The Modaka in the hand of Ganesha. It's so clearly etched there. And it's a marvel.
Fantastic. What you narrated is a marvel, Ganesha. Thank you so much, Ganesh,
thank
for sharing this. I think this will really spread happiness among all as Bhagwan wished. Thank you so much.
Sai Ram. Thanks for the opportunity.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that is the message given through Ganesh to all of us to be happy. Swami said, just show this Ganesha and let them be happy. Give happiness to others. In fact, Bhagwan always said, happiness is union with God. And happiness, Baba says, comes from prema and tyaga, love and sacrifice. And Baba narrates how Ganesha broke his own tusk to continue writing non-stop the epic Mahabharata as Vyasa dictated to him again non-stop without a break. One must be willing to sacrifice one's own pleasures, one's own comforts for the sake of others, for the sake of humanity, for the welfare of the world. And during Ganesh Chaturthi 1997, Baba explained there is no need to look for Ganesha anywhere outside. Ganesha dwells in you, in every human being, in the form of intellect and wisdom. And Baba said, all you need is faith and love. Then Swami says, we can experience and realize the living Ganesha principle pulsating within us every moment. And as we gear up to celebrate this festival, dear listeners, let us remember to introspect and keep our perspective right so that this occasion becomes another stepping stone towards our true goal of self-realization. True goal of finding that elusive, permanent peace and lasting happiness. Ganesh mentioned about the Ganesha Pancharatna Kriti and Swami being so happy when he mentioned that it was sung by the legendary singer M.S. Subbalakshmi Garu. And I think it would be appropriate and beautiful to conclude this Thursday life with that melodious rendering. Let us immerse ourselves in these 5 gems, adoring, Lord Ganesha.
ಮೋದಕಂ ಸದಾ ವಿಮುಕ್ತಿ ಸಾಧಕಂ ಕಲಾಧರಾವತಂಸಕಂ ವಿಲಾಸಿ ಲೋಕ ರಕ್ಷಕಂ ಮುದಾಕರಾತ್ ಮೋದಕಂ ಸದಾ ವಿಮುಕ್ತಿ ಸಾಧಕಂ ಕಲಾಧರಾವತಂಸಕಂ ವಿಲಾಸಿ ಲೋಕ ರಕ್ಷಕಂ ಅನಾಯಕೈಕನಾಯಕಂ ವಿನಾಶಿತೆ ಭದೈತ್ಯಕಂ ಕಥಾಶುಭಾಶು ನಾಶಕಂ ನಮಾಮಿತಂ ವಿನಾಯಕಂ ಅನಾಯಕೈಕನಾಯಕಂ ವಿನಾಶಿತೆ ಭದೈತ್ಯಕಂ ಭೀಕರಂ ನವೋ ನಿಕಾಟಭಾಸ್ವರಂ ನಮತ್ಸುರಾರಿ ನಿರ್ಜರಂ ನತಾಧಿಕಾಪದುದ್ಧರಂ ನತೇತರಾತಿ ಭೀಕರಂ ನವೋ ನಿಕಾಟಭಾಸ್ವರಂ ನಮತ್ಸುರಾರಿ ನಿರ್ಜರಂ ನತಾಧಿಕಾಪದುದ್ಧರಂ ಸುರೇಶ್ವರಂ ನಿಧೀಶ್ವರಂ ಪರಾಪರಂ ನಿರಂತರಂ ಸಮಸ್ತ ಲೋಕ ಶಂಕರಂ ನಿರಸ್ತ ದೈತ್ಯ ಕುಂಜರಂ ಸರೇತರೋದರಂ ವರಂ ವರೇ ಭವಕ್ಷಮಕ್ಷರಂ ಸಮಸ್ತ ಲೋಕ ಶಂಕರಂ ನಿರಸ್ತ ದೈತ್ಯ ಕುಂಜರಂ ಸರೇತರೋದರಂ ವರಂ ವರೇ ಭವಕ್ ಕ್ಷರಂ ಕೃಪಾಕರಂ ಕ್ಷಮಾಕರಂ ಮುದಾಕರಂ ಯಶಸ್ಕರಂ ಮನಸ್ಕರಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತಂ ನಮಸ್ಕರೋಮಿ ಭಾಸ್ವರಂ ನಮಸ್ಕರೋಮಿ ಭಾಸ್ವರಂ ಅಕಿಂಚನಾತಿ ಮಾರ್ಜನಂ ನಿರಂತನೋಕ್ತಿ ಭಾಜನಂ ಪುರಾರಿ ಅಕಿಂಚನಾತಿ ಮಾರ್ಜನಂ ಚಿರಂತನೋಕ್ತಿ ಭಾಜನಂ ಪುರಾರಿ ಪೂರ್ವನಂದನಂ ಸುರಾರಿ ಗರ್ವ ಚರ್ವಣಂ ಪ್ರಪಂಚನಾಶ ಭೀಷಣಂ ಧನಂಜಯಾಭಿಭೂಷಣಂ ಕಪಾಲದಾನವಾರಣಂ ಭಜೇ ಪುರಾಣ ವಾರಣಂ ಭಜೇ ಪುರಾಣ ತಮೇಕ ಸಂತಮೇವತಂ ವಿಚಿಂತಯಾಮಿ ಸಂತತಂ ಕೃತಂತರೇ ನಿರಂತರಂ ವಸಂತಮೇವ ಯೋಗಿನಾ ತಮೇಕ ಸಂತಮೇವತಂ ವಿಚಿಂತಯಾಮಿ ಸಂತತಂ.
So that was the melodious voice of M.S. Subbalakshmi Garu rendering the Ganesha Pancharatnam. And with this, dear listeners, it's time to bring the curtains down on this Thursday live from the studios of Radio Sai. But we will continue these ruminations on the Ganesha principle next week too, because there is so much to share on this fascinating form of the divine. There are so many beautiful experiences that Swami has granted to so many students and staff members and devotees. So we will take this opportunity to dwell on the Ganesha principle next week too, on another episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. Meanwhile, if you have any Ganesha related experience, please feel free to share with us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org, listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us, and wishing you a blissful Ganesh Chaturthi ahead. And finally, before I take leave, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet goodbye and loving sairam from Prashant Nilayam. And even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a gratitude program presented by students of the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School. They presented this in front of Bhagwan on 24th February 2010. So that is what you will continue to listen. Keep listening. Thank you so much. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Please do write to us at listener@radiosai.org. And finally, Sai Ram, a heartfelt loving greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam.